Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51. The truth is out there.
It's a lie.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to the podcast that wonders if you can judge people by the bumps on their head. How do you judge robots? This is Hysteria 51.
We judge you, not the other way around. Judge, jury.
Douchebag.
Broadcasting from the lower fourth dimension, otherwise known as Chicago, this is Brent Han, still guiding the ship and sitting across from me, filling in for Goforth as he's still on duty in Delaware.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm just kidding. Oh. I'm just kidding. He's actually on assignment in Poughkeepsie this week. The man who needs no introduction because he has his own theme song. And that does it for him.
His name is...
Kevin
Crispin.
Oh, hello, hello. Now, I've always wanted to be on assignment in Poughkeepsie, so what do I need to do to be able to do that?
Fail upwards?
Okay.
I think that's the way to...
I've been failing the wrong way my whole life.
Me too.
Oh, man.
Now, our good, loyal listeners in Poughkeepsie, you can hate Kevin and not me.
No. I was serious. I want to go to Poughkeepsie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a really fun word that's hard to spell.
Yeah. Yes, I'm looking here when I was reading the outline, and that does not... that. Is that really how it's spelled?
Poughkeepsie.
Okay. But I will say, when I saw it in my head, I thought Poughkeepsie.
Yeah. Because I wrote on there, John's in Poughkeepsie. Remember.
Yeah.
Remember.
And I was like, why am I here?
Because I'll send you to Poughkeepsie.
I lost a bet, didn't I? Yeah. No, it's good to be here, man. And I'm honored to be on the show today with you and talking about this little thorny, bumpy issue.
Yeah. And even though you're filling in and playing co-host, we had to play your bumper.
Yeah.
That one might actually be worse than Peckers.
Other voice you're hearing is our robot co-host, Conspiracy Bot. C-Bot is a drunk, angry robot. Blah, blah, blah. We all know. He's been on World Destruction. He dabbles, though, in phrenology, he tells us.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
No, I said I collect heads. There is a difference.
Yeah, you need to collect a paycheck.
Don't you have a mole to lose sleep over or something?
Wait, what? What are you laughing? Did he see something?
Kevin,
is it over here? No, hold on. Just
you.
Is it here?
That's not a... That looks like an infected third nipple.
Oh my god!
But since we're talking pseudoscience this week, spoiler alert. I hate to any phrenologists.
I mean,
students out there.
I think maybe you're getting a little ahead of it.
Yeah, this week as we are talking phrenology as pseudoscience. Do you have any other pseudosciences that you? I don't know if I should say this, but dare I say you're a fan of?
Do I have other pseudosciences? Chemistry. I'm a fan of chemistry.
Math.
Physics.
Yes.
The Big Bang.
You were a big fan of The Big Bang Theory.
Never seen an episode.
Yeah.
I'm proud to
play
say.
Play it cool.
I'm playing it real cool.
Play it cool there,
Bazinga.
Daddy-o. Oh, see? I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yes, you do.
I am not a fan of The Big Bang Theory, but I do have a Sheldon Cooper action figure because he's wearing a Green Lantern t-shirt.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I've seen that action figure.
Well, it's an inaction figure. It's still in the box. But,
it comes
with like, I think, a whiteboard so you can do physics.
It does it really?
I think that's in the box.
They're selling pseudoscience with dolls now?
I mean, is it really pseudoscience? You know,
it is to me.
If it's on television, you just got to believe it.
All true. Fox News.
CNN, MSNBC. They're all owned by the devil.
That's. I'd like to do some phrenology on the person who owns all the news networks.
Who was it? Who could it possibly be? Was it? Oh, I don't know. Say it.
That's Boss. It's called Boss.
Ah, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, you guys have covered a few in seriousness pseudosciences that have made me laugh. You know, Hollow Earth, lie detectors, Flat Earth. I think that's got to be my favorite. And again,
science.
Yeah, again, I'm sorry if.
Would you hit your head on the firmament or something? That's the gospel.
Yeah, I did hit my head on the firmament. Yes. Actually, if we could just take some time here and we could just go through and take a look at my head, and then we can really figure out what's going on with me.
We're going to figure out what that new bump's about.
Yeah. This one?
Yeah, that's your shoulder mole.
Oh, God.
That's your shoulder mole, man.
Oh, my God.
See, I knew as soon as he said that.
Why did he have to say that? Huh. All right, let's just talk about something else.
Yeah, so I actually looked online thinking of pseudosciences, yeah. And some of the ones that I saw the ones I enjoy are all over the place, but the ones that people bring up and things like that, mm-hmm. Perpetual motion machines, which wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah.
Astrology. That's an interesting one.
Yeah, but everybody knows their sign.
Right, and here's one that actually has been used in a lot of court proceedings and mm-hmm. things like that. Graphology or handwriting analysis, where he crossed the T a little sideways. Obviously, he's a rapist. Sir, we're here for jaywalking. I'm a handwriting analysis
Yeah,
expert.
Excuse me. I am an expert. Here is my well-written certificate. As you can see here, the way I wrote it shows that I'm an expert.
Yeah, and not in any way imbalanced or anything. Yeah, but there's all these pseudosciences, but the soup du jour pseudoscience is none other than the aforementioned phrenology this week. Kevin, I asked you to help host this week while John is getting that rash checked in Poughkeepsie like we were talking about, because mm-hmm. Phrenology is the measurement of bumps on the skull to predict mental traits.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
Well, I mean, if it works, I feel pretty good about it. Can it predict moles and things like
just
that?
Just the head.
Bumps. Yeah, and we're going to get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into why, but the big over-under through thing, the thought is the brain is an organ, which it is, but back in the day, peeps thought it was an organ of the mind, which was it was certain areas of it had specific functions. Now, we know that to be true in and of itself, mm-hmm. but they thought they were each individual were different organs of that organ, and the different places of the brain weren't like, well, here's what helps you not drool, but here's what decides if you're going to stab people, or this one decides if you're going to be a good father, things like that.
Yeah, that the stab one and the drool one are pretty close to each other.
So if I shove an ice pick in the left side, you forget how to play the piano, but if I do the right side, you become an architect.
What?
That's
why does he even think that?
Well, I mean, that's kind of obvious. Yeah. But, I mean, that actually, we have talked about brain injuries on here that people wake up and all of a sudden they can play the piano or they're a savant.
Yeah.
Things like that. So that does happen. And I imagine things like that happening probably fed into this type of thinking that mm-hmm. led to this mm-hmm. because the brain is a mystery in many ways, even to us now. You ever seen those brains where they dissect people that had severe mental disorders and were psychos, and the brain is smooth, it had no wrinkles?
Is that right?
Yeah, I've seen a couple
and
of
what,
them.
What does that mean? No wrinkles? Like, I mean, what I, is that?
It's just it was a malformed brain. It led to I don't know. Though this is another interesting thing. Speaking of the brain, they actually did cross sections of Einstein's brain.
Yeah.
And they have it in the slides you can look at.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the brain, as you go, like the dark material inside it, as you get older, dissipates. So you're far less likely to be able to remember things and do advanced things. Uh-huh. And his never
dissipated.
So it was almost like a mutation or a different. He had a different brain that allowed him to do the things that he did.
Do you think in what is it? We use like 5 to 10% of our brains.
That's not exactly true. So they say that that's not true. We use all of our brain. That's a miscalculation. Though, I mean, I'm sure there's untapped potentials, like I said, because people get knocked on the head in a bar fight and they wake up and they can do geometry and physics and calculus. But all of the functions of the brain use the entire brain.
It's not like going in the cereal aisle and then the milk aisle, all that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That I don't know what the hell that means.
Always get the bag cereal. It tastes the same.
No, it doesn't.
Malt-O-Meal, is that what it's called?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I never, I'm a generic guy, but a couple things I don't buy generic cereals, one of them.
So I tell you what, I love Frosted Shredded Wheat. I like just about every generic brand better than Kellogg's.
Is that right?
Shredded Wheat, yeah. Yeah. I don't know why. So,
maybe we can look at the bumps on your head.
Little
and it'll
peek
tell
behind
us.
The curtain. I do think you're going to find it there. But the ideas that we're working with as far as brain function have a basis in reality, like we're saying, like, mm-hmm. you know, this controls this, this controls this. But phrenology left science to the side and went out on its own, just making up crap.
Making up crap? Is that like a scientific term?
Yeah, I looked it up actually. That's
great.
Exactly.
I'll start using that.
If you use the Encyclopedia Britannica.
Uh-huh. I did see that you guys had that
set. Funkin' Wagnalls in the dust.
Was that the gentleman who was just leaving when I got here? Did he sell you the latest one?
I'm up to R.
You're up to R?
Yeah. So I have phrenology down. So
okay,
good.
That's why we're doing it today. You just read about it. Okay. Mm-hmm.
We're getting there. So what does phrenology say? Well, it measures the contours of the skull and can predict personality traits. And we know that that is completely false thanks to research and real science, but that is what it was founded on, literally. And it was developed by the country that gave us oh so many great, great times of history, Germany.
Was that sarcasm?
Yes, it was sarcasm.
That was sarcasm, yeah. He's learning. Man.
He's learning. Yeah. I never thought I'd say that about Seebach.
Back in 1796, physician Franz Joseph Gall developed phrenology.
You know, how many body parts do you think he felt up before he settled on the head?
Gall? Yeah. Well, the bladder. And that was a horrible joke.
I kind of liked it.
Yeah. How many body parts? Yeah, that's a, you know, he didn't find enough that were bumpy enough. Like this one I can really wrap my hand around, because anything more than a handful and a breast, you're just risking spraining a thumb. So you don't want to do that. And that's a quote from Weird Science.
the movie or the USA television show?
The movie. Oh. We don't talk about the TV show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No,
you can
it's okay.
Edit that out.
It's okay. Yeah. I will edit most of you out of this.
Okay. That's good.
It really caught on, though, in the 19th century, especially from about 1810 until 1840.
Isn't it interesting? Because that's right after, I believe that Charles Darwin and Abraham Lincoln were born on the same day in 1809.
Wow.
Too bad. I don't know where I'm going with that.
1809. So about when they're a year old, they started feeling up their brain.
Yeah,
their
feeling
heads.
Up the bumps and well, somebody that, was feeling it, up Charles's head, and then they're like, "You need to go look at some finches."
Head was huge then.
You know, it's not really diminished.
No,
it's just different. They called it ye old head back then. Everything needs a central point. You're talking about Charles Darwin versus Lincoln. So Lincoln was over here in America. It didn't catch on here as quickly, but we'll get into that.
That's surprising.
Everything needs a central spot, though, and phrenology was Edinburgh and the Edinburgh Phrenological Society.
Say that three times.
Yeah. Phrenological. Yeah. It was established in 1820.
Huh.
I guess lectured there.
He didn't. He did not. Yeah. He's not immortal.
Nobody would have him. Yeah, he's not immortal. That's a good point. I mean, how old is he? Three?
You ignorant twerps. Time is an abstract concept created by carbon-based life forms to monitor their own ongoing decay, so suck a fart out of my dirty balloon knot.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. Can we go back to the mole, maybe? God.
Kevin, can you honestly say you can judge anyone's intentions by a body part, though? Like,
Joe Peck.
Yeah. Who always has a raging boner when he sees you. That you can judge.
Put an eye
you
out can, that thing.
Yeah. But seriously, otherwise, can you? Like, what do you think? Is there any part of the body that you, knowing what we know now, can judge?
I don't know. No. I don't know. You could say the eyes are the window to the soul.
Yeah, but there's no, that's a hard pill to swallow, so to speak, you know. It's just such a, we're going to get into this, but This was a science. It was used for racism and sexism. And
very bad.
We're going to get into that part of it. It's just a disgusting thing that, and it's one of those sciences that when they start looking for it, you know, you want to use a scientific method and observable and repeatable things. And when they found non-observable and non-repeatable things, they just go, well, that one doesn't count.
Oh, that one. That one doesn't
That doesn't
get
count.
In
yeah. Okay. So let's head to break. When we come back, we're going to get into the phrenology's history. How did this crack BS catch on? That's an important part. And ultimately, fall to the side, thankfully. And do I actually have a phrenology bust? Spoiler alert.
He does.
Producer Lisa, I don't think she loves it as much as I do.
No.
Where else am I going to put my hat on
when
I get
home?
Yeah. It's on there right now.
Larry's Country Diner.
That's coming up next on Hysteria 51. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused. Or really cool. I have to go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have both of us have given the seal of approval because we wanted to do this long term, and it's something that it works, you know. And we don't we don't do long term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So, all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now, get started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's Mint Mobile, MintMobile.com/hysteria, HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at MintMobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Very proud of you today, Kevin, because
you're a little
hungover. Yeah. I picked you up off the train.
Little.
You didn't puke in my truck.
No, well, there's still a ride back to go.
There is.
Yeah.
I was very worried. I gave you some hangover juice.
I thought I was going to throw it up, but I got it. I held it
down. Some ibuprofen.
Ibuprofen. You know, if I had had my head read before I drank, maybe I wouldn't have had a hangover.
Well, you would have known. Someone would have told you, you have a penchant for getting hungover. You need to take that hangover juice beforehand. You would have been like, thank God I went to that Phrenology Institute of Chicago.
Yeah, tell me. Yeah, of Chicago. Tell me more about this phrenology. There's got to be some basic tenets of it, right?
I'm glad you asked, fair co-host Kevin.
Yes.
There are the basic tenets of phrenology.
Yeah.
There's six of them.
Oh, okay.
Number one, the brain is the organ of the mind. I can't really argue about that. I mean, it is an organ, and that's real. Really, it's funny. Lisa and I went to the body exhibit, and it was interesting. It had on there, it had a brain and the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. It said, this is you. Every other piece of you is to nourish, protect, or supply this. And that's crazy. It's a really weird thing to see. The brain and the nerve, that is really you. It's broken down to that.
Brain and nervous system.
Yeah, because that's all your feelings. Everything comes down to that.
Yeah.
And it had the spinal, it had the cord, but not like the spinal, your spine, the bones.
Mm-hmm.
It was crazy. It was really interesting to see.
Do you think there's a place, as we get into phrenology, that I could get a new brain?
We could just fix yours. By the time we're old, they'll be uploading us and they'll just they'll take out the errors.
Oh, Jesus.
Kevin 2.0.
Oh, man.
Actually, they're going to have to get to like 2.4 before they get it down.
Yeah. Okay. So the brain is the organ of the mind.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah. All right. Number two, the mind is composed of multiple distinct innate faculties.
Okay.
That's kind of a weird thing to say, but you can kind of get behind that one.
So you are they saying like, let's say the brain is six things, like these six tenets. You could pull one of those things out and it could function on its own? Is that what they're saying?
They're saying that each one is an organ that makes up the whole of it.
Mm.
So they don't function in and of themselves, but together they function together as one giant organ, the brain.
Boom, 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 boom,
yeah.
Boom.
Number three, because they are distinct, each faculty must have a separate seat or organ in the brain. That's another retelling of that. Like I just said, each piece goes together. They each is an organ. You can't live without your heart. You need your kidneys. I guess you can make excuses things like that. There are people that have had head injuries, though, and lost part of their brain, and they still live, and then other people don't. It's a weird thing.
Right. Or their personality 1,000% changes.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Number four, the size of an organ, other things being equal, is the measure of its power. What that is saying is that's like one of the main tenets. I'm getting a big thumbs up from the booth. Thank you, producer.
Thank you, producer Lisa.
Yeah, so that is kind of one of the maintenance of phrenology, meaning the size of the feeling. They would feel your head, and they could interpret. They said your head got its shape from the brain. The brain didn't get its shape from the head. It was malleable that way. So if you have a bump here, that's not a bump on your head. That's a bump on your brain. And
the bones formed around the brain.
Right. So that was the thing. The brain shaped the head. The head didn't shape the brain.
Okay.
You're looking like you don't believe this, and I don't know how I feel
about
that.
No,
I
don't know.
This is phrenology. We know it's true.
That's a good point. We do know it's true. I just had a...
Girl, you know it's true.
Girl, you know it's. Girl, you know it's. Girl, you... 50,000 people. Girl, you know it's. Girl, you know it's. I've seen that Behind the Music like 17 times.
Inconceivable!
Okay. Lisa, you can put the thumb down now.
Yeah.
We're moving on from the size. Okay.
What I was talking about, the shape, again, number five, the shape of the brain is determined by the development of its various organs. So each organ can grow separately from the rest. So you can have the frontal lobe is huge or the rear lobe is huge. And each of those things, are going to dictate what happens. We'll get into each of those areas. Mm-hmm. There's lots of different areas, and they control different things. We're going to break that down, too. Number six, this is what I was talking about. As a skull takes its shape from the brain, the surface of the skull can be read as an accurate index of psychological aptitudes and tendencies.
I checked. That's all spot on.
Yeah.
Yeah, not an issue there.
Yeah, right here I got a bump. That means I'm a great lover, and from the booth, you can tell.
Why is she putting her thumb down?
You asked her to. That's the only
reason. Oh, I see. Okay.
Don't get cocky. Stay on target. Stay on target. Listen to Porkins.
So, I'm just imagining tentacles of the brain coming.
Kind
of
like poking. Remember those old movies where the brain would be like oversized and like pulsating?
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost like beating like a heart or something like that. It kind of makes it sound crazy like that.
So my question then is why didn't we ever have elephantitis of the brain? And why didn't people, if phrenology is real, why didn't some people just grow their brain? Grow huge, like one node.
Well, think about when they found those Egyptians or the African people that would do the head binding, and it would give them those elongated skulls. They were probably like, oh shit, this guy was really into music, you know, or whatever. Like, this dude
loves seals and Croft.
Yeah. It was just, it's written right there on his malleable skull.
Yeah.
But depending on which book you read of phrenology, and there are a lot of them, the different guides, there could be 27 to 38 regions of the skull.
That's specific.
Yeah. In each, an organ of the brain, and each responsible for a different personality trait. Now, the norm, there is like, even in them, there was infighting, and the normal accepted is 35 in five major regions, all inside the brain of your head. So, all 35 aren't going to be named, but they're broken down into five regions, and they have five regions, and they have some weird names. So the first region is amativeness, human feeling, love, and sex. That's region one. What that means is if it's too big, you are a pervert, or you would be a Don Juan or an untrusty lover. Too small, no interest in sex. They would they would say, you know, women that become spinsters and stuff like that. Well, she was just her amativeness. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know, and I don't have my bust in front of me.
Yeah.
But it's one of those portions.
I can't believe the one time that I've recorded the show that the bust is not here.
I know, usually. I should just have it up here with the headphones on it, just ready to go.
Yeah.
Number two, philoprogenitiveness is the parental love. Also fondness for pets, the young, the helpless, the needy, the
restless.
The sick, the young and the restless. Yeah. Too big, you spoil your kids.
Okay.
Too big there and too big of the first one, and you might be a child molester. Too small, you neglect kids, you kick puppies, you don't want to have children, and you dislike them, you don't give money to the homeless, and you're a terrible person. That checks out. Number three, concentrativeness. Focus on a task. Too big, you're obsessive, OCD, you can't let something go, you get focused on one thing and you can't look at others. Too small, compulsive need for variety. A lot of things never get finished because you start working on one and you go, oh, I want to go work on this. I want to go work on that. Your eyes got real big when I thought of this one.
Yeah, well, I think I've got a real big concentrativeness portion.
Your concentrative organ region.
It's huge.
Inflamed.
It's engorged.
That is a word that I like it.
You like that word,
yeah,
engorged?
It's engorged?
Yeah.
It's so engorged, it's turgid.
And then I have to say, too small, compulsive need for variety. Well, that's what the cell phones are doing to us.
Right? Yep. Yeah. And
They're ruining our
consumption. And then?
And then?
Yeah.
Oh,
I know.
Gotta,
and then.
Okay.
That's just the way it goes. That was number three. Number four is adhesiveness.
Robot.
Speaking of unfocused and can't stay on track.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Does he know any other songs?
Do you need any other
songs? No, I don't.
Yeah.
Maybe some Seals and Crawl.
Adhesiveness, friendship, social, how much you like being around people. Too big, you need company. You don't like to be alone. You might be one of those people that goes to parties all the time. Party all the time.
No.
Oh, now I see why he did it. That's terrible. Too small, you neglect friends. You shun social events. your adhesiveness is too small. You stayed home and you watched Friends on your anniversary instead of going out because you didn't want to be around people.
Is that true?
Is our adhesiveness too small? Guess what? We're small together.
Aww.
I'm not getting any reaction from the booth. I don't know how I feel about this.
Wow.
Well, that brings us to number five then.
Looked at that way.
Number five is combativeness. Too big?
Yeah.
Well, you're an excitable bastard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you're going to. Yeah. You're out trying to start fights. You argue with people for no reason. Internet troll.
What I'm enjoying is that the third, fourth, and fifth one are kind of close to words.
Yeah, they're not.
The first two are not words.
Number six, anti-disestablishmentarianism. No, I mean, uncombative, too small, you're a coward. You won't stand up for yourself. You're easily walked on, pushed over.
Okay.
You shun away from everything because you just can't stand any sort of confrontation.
And this is all going to be told to me by feeling my head.
When a phrenology expert feels your head, they'll be able to really break you down.
So could you go to a phrenology expert and just say, I'm worried about my adhesiveness?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm really worried.
And they're
going
to go, well, I'm going to focus on the adhesive area of your brain and however many different functions. So that, remember, that's that organ, but there's multiple pieces to that organ in there. So then it breaks down even further. But these are the big ones.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I'll use, they'll have a cutaway or the side of the brain. And you can kind of see all the different things on one side. I'll use that as the cover for this. What this boils down to, though, is they thought that by examining the shape and unevenness of a head or a skull, like I could discover the development of the particular cerebral organs responsible for different intellectual aptitudes and character traits. Now, that's important. Intellectual aptitudes, character traits, just by touching someone's head, they've already judged you and know what your type of person you are and what you're good and bad at.
Hand out of the booth.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So my question is, how fast is that? Is it just like a one touch, or is it a couple minutes probing?
They're gonna feel everywhere because different things can overlap into, well, this is large, but this is small, so they're going to kind of counteract each other, things like that. But I'm sure just like anything, a true phrenology expert could do it pretty fast. Yeah.
And that expert, should she be a true expert? She could say, here's your adhesiveness.
Well,
right
so
here.
here's talking about what you're talking about. For example, if your forehead is big, that position attributed to the organ of benevolence indicated that the individual would have a well-developed organ of benevolence, would therefore be expected to exhibit, you're an okay guy.
That's why I'm going bald.
I'm just really benevolent. But like so many popular sciences, Gall and others sought only, this is what I talked about, only confirmations for what fit into their box. If it didn't work with the subject, they just didn't add that to their research.
They would just ignore it.
That hypothesis doesn't tread water.
That doesn't work. We're not using it.
So if something didn't follow along in the way as a thing, they threw it out, ignored it completely, and that meant any evidence that went along with the way they're thinking was then readily and ferociously accepted as proof of the truth of phrenology. That's not the way science works.
Yeah, and I noticed that, I think you have a typo here. I think you have truth in quotation marks. I don't think you meant to do that.
Truth. Yeah, okay. That's the way it goes. And at the same time, contradictory findings such as not very benevolent and disagreeable people having a well-developed organ of benevolence were always explained away. Meaning, you got a big head, and you're an asshole, and you're an evil person. That was often done by claiming that the activity of the other organs counteracted it. Like I was saying, so just because one, you can't just do it real quick, Kevin. Just because one's there, you got to check another area.
Yeah, because if you don't do a full scan.
Yeah.
Like if I just went in for my adhesiveness, they can't tell me about my adhesiveness.
That's what you do when you do it.
Love that movie.
You're going to be an evil person.
Wow. Well, you are an expert. All right, here's my $300.
I do have a phrenology bust.
Yeah, there's your $300.
What was never accepted by phrenologists is that this was all bullshit. And stupid, which again,
scientific term.
That's exactly right. This was popular in England during the time with surprise, surprise, the wealthy class.
Yeah, hey, what else do we got to do but feel each other's heads?
Literally, they grabbed onto this as a way to justify they're looking down on the lower class people, the colonists, things like that. They were better, and they had a way to prove it. Just feel my head.
All good sciences help move along racism and classism. That is just a fact.
Yeah, no.
Can we just block him? Is there a block feature on him?
Well, there's a push him down the stairs and hope for the best feature. On that little bit of racism, which we're going to get further into, let's take a break. And when we come back, let's talk what happened to it. Happily happened to Phrenology. That's coming up on Hysteria 51.
You mean it became bigger and better than ever?
Yeah.
It's huge.
I went to college at the Gold University of Southern Illinois.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Are you also thinking about the mole? My mole? Have we talked about the mole
I've
enough?
I've not been able to not think about it since you whipped that bad boy out.
Yeah.
The edges look irregular.
What do you mean irregular?
It looks red. I don't think it's supposed to be red.
What do you mean red? I'm colorblind. I'm not really, but I wish I was now. All right, let's talk about something. So, Brent, you have a phrenology bust in your office.
Yeah, it's not as cool as it sounds. We were a few years ago, we were in TJ Maxx or Home Goods or one of those places.
They had phrenology busts?
Well, so when I was a kid, I loved the movie Men at Work. Do you remember with Emilio?
Directed by Emilio
Estevez. Carlos Estevez.
That's right.
Yeah. And they were garbage men. Well, that was like a running joke through the whole thing. It's like, oh, you know, phrenology, feel interpret the bumps on a head. And then it's like, you know, phrenologist, feel interpret the bumps on Walt's asshole. Like it was just this running joke through the thing. And I always thought that was funny because I thought phrenology, never heard of it. Well, I found the bust and it made me crack up thinking of that movie. So we bought it and now it's in my office.
So we're still calling it an office, huh?
I know what you're thinking. Yeah. You're thinking, we got us another crazy white boy with a gun. Well, let me tell you something. Human life means very little to me at this point in time. You'll never touch another man's french fries. Those are two little clips put together, but I love that movie. I love it.
Do you own it?
Of course I do.
Okay.
And
what's the plot of that movie? Did they find a dead body?
A dead body, yeah. And they're dumping, toxic waste. It was one of those. It's the 80s. You know, so your generic bad guy who had a car phone and toxic waste and they were going to get buried
in a skinny tie.
They were in trouble. So they get like the disgruntled former Vietnam vet who was also riding along with them and hilarity ensues.
I have to watch that again.
Yeah. Carlos Estevez.
Yes. Real name. Yeah.
You know, when he was in Machete or whatever, that's the name he used.
Really?
Yeah. And introducing Carlos Estevez.
Well, I mean, fuck it. Tiger blood.
Yeah. So getting back to this. So Gall and Phrenology, they did some good. They did a lot of bad. But they did
do some good.
Some
huh?
good came of at least their bumble fucking through science. It got some people talking about the brain.
Yeah.
That was something that didn't always happen in neurology, psychology. They were helped by this pseudoscience. Real sciences were helped by them being so wrong that it was used as a cautionary tale, but it did open up dialogue about, well, if this is not really how it happens, how does it really
happen?
Yeah,
let's figure out what it is.
Yeah. It was also, though, on the bad side, a huge outlet for racism, sexism, classism, lots of isms. We talk about the English upper class and the Americans when they adopted it over here a few years later. Mm-hmm. It was a way to look down at the poor. I think is the best way to put it.
So were they like just having, would they bring in a poor person and look at their head and be like, obviously you're not as developed as I am, or you're
Yeah, but I'm sure that when they did that, the person who was bringing in, and they would do phrenology readings, much like they would do seances and stuff. You know, they're bringing in people that they already knew had fucked up head bumps and yeah. stuff, so it would be the way that they wanted it to uh-huh. be. You know, it's like the traveling medicine show. You know, you come into town.
Snake oil salesman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They also use it a way to keep black people looked at as an inferior race, or anyone someone wanted to keep down, just say, oh, you got the bump in the wrong place on the skull. Gasp, you're an inferior race. They literally...
Wow.
Oh, think of Django Unchained. When Leonardo DiCaprio's character, he goes on a rant about African American skulls differed from Caucasian skulls, and their bumps are different, and they're an inferior race. That literally was a thing. And they would, some of these phrenology places would have skulls that they said were from African American people that were, they were lumpy or just deformed skulls. They go, well, that was from an African American or a black. I guess it wouldn't have been an African American because yeah. they were in England, but they
would just say that because obviously it is well, because of this. The shape. Yeah.
That's what they all are like. You know, they'd say things like that and you go, because that's what English people say.
Well, the especially English upper class.
Exactly. They talk to their skulls as different, though. Anyone that they wanted to put down. And they were lesser than the upper class and should be treated as such. That was literally one of the teachings of phrenology or one of the offshoots or products.
What happens, let's just say somebody in the lower class wins a lottery and becomes part of the upper class. Does their skull change?
They just don't let anyone read their skull.
Oh, got it.
I think would be the better. Now, I don't think there was a lot of people winning the lottery.
Well, I know, but for argument's sake.
In Victorian era England.
Oh, scratch offs?
Yeah. Yeah, pull tabs are really big back then, you know. The messed up part of it was also... It didn't stop there. Women were seen as inferior, too. Women, they said, would have smaller heads, so they didn't have the same ability to learn or to love or to do things, and therefore should be treated as the inferior race. Seriously, though, who has a perfectly shaped skull? Other than me, because look at mine. It's
beautiful.
I mean, it's
pretty aerodynamic.
But seriously, who doesn't have a bump here or there or things like that?
Right.
You know? And that is just because of life and your skull.
Yeah, you hit your head or how you were born or, yeah, it is really gross.
Never judge a book by its cover.
Wow. That is very true. I'm actually shocked. That's true.
Cut that prick open to see what's really on the inside.
There he is. He's back.
Okay.
He's back.
Why did I fall for it? Why did I think he was, you know, making a turn?
He's so smooth talking. You just can't help but listen and hope for the best. So what happened to him, Kevin?
Yeah, well, he obviously probably through phrenology lives in our hearts and lived forever.
Yeah, this is Gaul that we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Well, he did have the gall to die. He died in Paris.
I got to go.
August,
another Gaul joke.
August 22nd, 1828. So kind of died still in the heyday of it. He died on a high note. That's one way to put
He's
it.
He's very respected.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A collection of his skulls can be seen actually at the Rolette Museum in Austria. So that he literally, like I said, he had all the skulls. And here you can look at this one and you can look at this one. This is an African skull. And this is an American skull. This is an English skull. You know, he compared them. And so they're still on display.
Kevin, want to see my skull collection?
No. No, I don't.
Yeah.
I'd rather not talk to you.
Loser.
Gaul did set the groundwork, though, as kind of like we talked about, for modern neurosciences by spreading the idea of function localization within the brain. Parts of the brain are responsible for specific things.
So before Gaul, that was not really anything
that
was discussed?
It wasn't studied much like that. His inability to grasp it properly had other people thinking, and so it kind of got that ball rolling, so to
speak.
Got it. And the misuse of Gaul's ideas and work to justify discrimination were deliberately furthered by his associates. They grabbed onto it and used it as a way for classism and socialism and racism and stuff. Later, others tried to improve on his theories with systems such as characterology, Nazi eugenics.
Characterology.
It took a bunch of other readings of the body things. Phrenology, it took that and tried to fix it by taking into sociology, anthropology, other ways, and then combine them all to say, like, well, phrenology is just not on its own. And then you had things like Nazi eugenics, who were like, well, these people have the right traits. let's kill everyone else and breed them. And
even though our leader doesn't have those traits.
Come on now. He had the
did he dye his eye color?
He died. We know that much.
Yes, he
in
did.
In Argentina? Oh.
Or
uh-oh.
Is he in Hawaii?
Hawaii. Mugalagali, come on, you want to weigh me? Pass the poi, Adolf Hitler.
It's a nice World War II and Wayne's World reference. You don't get a lot of, don't get those two together very often.
Well, we're here to bridge
culture
gaps, yeah, and cultures, yeah, mm-hmm, and things like that.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, we're making light here because you have to throw a little bit of that onto this because it begat some gross things, and it was gross in and of itself. How much damage do you think pseudosciences like this caused us? How far back did it set us? Looking back on people using pseudoscience to keep others, mm-hmm, down, what kind of damage do you see that doing?
It's generational damage, right? You said it was big from like 1810 to 1840
in England, and it came over to the
Americas.
Here,
yeah, and 1870s. Yeah. Not the 1970s. It's not part of a Yes concept album, but the fact that you are just the racism to start, the fact that it's just another talking point for people who are racist and believe that, and that just furthers the discrimination. And this classism thing, which I wasn't aware of before we started, you know, talking about it, it's just crazy. It's crazy. It's a weird way of saying I'm so insecure about who I am, I have to say what's wrong with everybody else.
I think people were looking for a reason why they were where they were. Mm-hmm. You know, the king and the queen of the king and the queen because they were born there in the right time, the right place. Well, no, they're supposed to be the king and the queen. Now that's, you know, this is generalizing a little bit, but because they are superior in some way.
Right.
Well, what way? I don't know. Figure it out. You know,
Well, let's start with the head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's always start with head.
So how far do you think it set us back?
I don't know if that's a quantifiable number, but a lot, because it's still setting us back to a little bit, you know, with racism and things like that. But it's not like it was. It's not like it was way back then. And classism it's still prevalent, but in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Think if we were, I'm not singing Kumbaya, but if we were all treated equal, how far we could be as a race. We'd probably be living on the moon playing naked volleyball, you know, with Scandinavian chicks. That's what I like to think. That's how much it's hurt us.
That's a lot. That's...
That is...
You know, that just made me not think about my mole for 1 second. Is that a new treatment? Should I start taking...
Scandinavian naked volleyball?
Yeah. Yeah. On the moon, no less.
Fault. Oops, that was a fault.
Yeah.
12, 6. Do you ever see where they like they always call it numbers and then they have to call it the half of it so they're working together? I watched Side Out not too long ago. Great 80s movie.
What movie?
Side Out.
Oh, why did you? Oh, because you're
brave.
Why? Yeah.
Why would I not watch Side Out?
Fair.
That's a
fair
dumb
point.
Question.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Phrenology is a pseudoscience that it's funny. Like I saw, a phrenology skull. I could buy that at TJ Maxx.
Yeah.
They don't tell you that it comes with the backwash of racism and hatred, but it does. And that's something that I think is important for people to remember. These things that we just have sitting around as decorations and stuff like that.
Harm whole races and groups of people, women, classes of people. It's terrible.
Pseudoscience. And some of them are, you know, if you look up pseudoscience, though, I will say this, the study of alien life and things like that is pseudoscience. Well, guess what NASA is doing right now on Mars? They're digging for microbes.
Yeah.
So technically you could say that Mars is the place of pseudoscience because NASA's doing it there. So just because you can't lump everything as pseudoscience just because it's not believed. People that
Why don't
are
we just call it bullshit.
Well, Penn and Teller, that's already taken.
Ah,
so
good point.
We can't do
good
that.
Point.
What do you guys think though? What do you think is phrenology just a great example of this, or is there better examples of pseudoscience that you love for us to talk about? How can they let us know, Kevin?
Well, there's a number of ways, but the best way I can think of right now is they can go onto Facebook and go into Hysteria Nation.
Oh, Such a good answer.
Thank you.
That's right. Just Facebook groups. Just search Hysteria Nation on Facebook. You'll find it. Also, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That's our Hysteria 51 page. You can find this episode and all sorts of episodes. Tweet to us at Hysteria51Pod. This is the place you got to go to. Patreon. Patreon.com/Hysteria51. You can find all sorts of extra episodes. We're going to do an up all night after this, and so you can find extra. We're going to keep the talk going. Lots of different episodes on there. Radio dramas. You can get yourself a t-shirt. You can host a show. Sign posters. A picture of the Loch Ness Monster. It only costs $3.50. And I draw it terribly for you.
Oh, I have three framed copies.
You do. Mm-hmm. They're. I would hold on to them.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, they'll probably be worth more after I'm dead. So, you know, your grandchildren will really be able to.
Yeah, this is my retirement planning.
I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Voicemail 773-669-7277. Again, 773-669-7277. We'll play more when John is back from Poughkeepsie or Delaware or wherever he's at recently.
Both.
I'll joke aside, John got himself a new job. Yay! Woo! And he is traveling nonstop. So he has been just traveling. He's been in New York pretty much every day for a while. And so we're not going to let the show just sit there. We're going to keep doing it.
That's right.
And now we got Kevin here filling in.
Happy to do so.
Well, not only are you happy to do so, you get sad sometimes.
I do get sad.
What do you call those sad times?
I call them sad times.
Yeah, tell about that.
Yeah, so I have a podcast that I work on called Sad Times that I host, and each week I bring on a guest, and we talk about times in their life when they were upset, sad, anxious, how they reacted, how people around them reacted, because generally we're all going through this stuff, but nobody really talks about it very often, so trying to open up a dialogue about that. So
I got to tell you, I was a guest.
Yes. You were.
It was hard. I'm not going to lie to you. And it was also very good. I enjoyed listening to it, listening back. And mm-hmm. It makes you, helps you, you know, think about the things you say. But, and I shared this with you, I got an email thanking me for being on there and talking about how they resonated with the issues that I'd had and how that made them feel. It was awesome. It was one of the greatest emails I've ever gotten of just saying, hey, it's nice to have someone else and you can go, I get them, or they're just like me, you know. That's pretty cool.
I think it is really cool. And, you know, I've had people reach out to me about other guests that I've had on and just feeling less alone. That's really a big goal.
Right, right. That's absolutely right. And we've got lots of great guests scheduled. Spoiler alert, I helped produce the show. So I took over a few episodes ago, not too long ago. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're doing that and it's been a lot of fun and I've really enjoyed it. And you can check that out just anywhere you're getting your podcast. Look up Sad Times. If you forget this show, though, if you get any of that, any of the phone number, anything, Hysteria51.com. The new Hysteria 51 3.0, I've just redone our website. It's still in the works. Some of the back episodes I'm still working on.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, it's got a new look, a little cleaner, a little easier to use. I think you'll like it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just go on there, and you can shop to your heart's desire. You can get yourself Hysteria51 hats and t-shirts and say, oh, I just saw that T Public added magnets. So I sell magnets through Patreon. We'll sell them. You can get yourself a sweet magnet. You can buy them on there now too. So that's pretty cool.
I think you should start selling, phrenology busts.
If someone wants to, we can work that out. I'll sign the phrenology bust that I have and give it to them for the right amount of money.
Yeah. $3,000.
$3,216.
Yes.
All right. Again, Kevin, thanks for coming on
here. Yeah, thanks
Sorry
for
about
having
your
me.
Mole, but your head checks out. Your head checks out. And a big thanks to producer Lisa for putting up with the booth. She got real excited. I got a thumbs up, so I'm excited about this week. We're going to see how this turns out.
How it goes.
Also, real quick, we're just talking side note here. Yesterday was our 6th anniversary.
Hey, happy anniversary.
Poor Lisa.
We've been married for 6 wonderful, wonderful years. There's no, you looked at me like I was making a joke there. There's no joke there.
Blink twice if you're okay.
Is that Morse code? So that was fun. We went out, we had some dinner, we went to a play,
We came home. We watched Friends. It was the whitest evening ever. And it was all right.
Nice. That sounds nice. Well, congratulations to you both.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Kevin.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.